Hello, 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 and welcome to Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we are going to be covering Outlander Season 2, Episode 12, The Hail Mary, and Season 2, Episode 13, Dragonfly and Amber.
Oh, you need to work on that. Still.
I just need to end it. Go ahead.
Yes, so, we have our usual disclaimers, and they include that there will be cursing, there will be spoilers for the show. We are at the end of season two.
Crazy.
Wow.
Only five more seasons and then we'll be caught up.
It's moving, though. I like this format. I think it's actually doing
pretty
well.
No, it is.
I think it's definitely helping. And we are having things to drink. We actually kind of made this into a question as to which thing could be closest to the title of the last one, which is Dragonfly and Amber. What did you make, Nama?
I made a Dragonfly and Amber, which is self-titled, and it has Laird's Applejack and some apple cider from Trader Joe's, non-alcoholic. The spice cider. And a little Prosecco on top. I have actually not tried it yet. Let me try this.
Okay, yeah, you try yours.
What do you have?
So I did a spin on one of the drinks that's actually in the book.
That's tasty.
Yeah. So
mine is, not hers yet.
Yours is sweeter, but still.
I like mine.
Of course you do.
Yours is good though.
Yeah, it is good. So mine, it's a twist, but it's not really. I just kind of did my own thing. Mm. And it's not as amber as yours. Mine's more of a yellow amber. But it has blended scotch, velvet falernum, allspice dram, and Prosecco. And it's pretty good.
Yeah, it's good. I like mine.
I like mine too. And we will do the holiday clove spritz at some point, which is what this is a twist on. Actually, we'll probably not do it exactly like it is.
No. But when do we ever?
Yeah, we're going to do it our own way.
Fuck the rules.
Exactly. And along the lines of fuck the rules, let's get into this last little bit of Outlander Season 2.
All right, starting with Season 2, Episode 12, The Hail Mary. Mm-hmm. And you might be wondering, the Hail Mary, what the fuck does that mean? It means two things, really.
It does not mean Hail Mary the prayer, just in case you're wondering.
No, but it does mean, oh, we're going to do this last-ditch effort to make sure that Culloden doesn't happen in 3 days. And it's also, Holy Mary, Mother of God, Mary's back.
Mary Hawkins, and there are things.
Which she was back last episode, so it's not really that big of a surprise.
Yeah, but still, it's disturbing. So,
well, there are essentially three things going on in this episode. One is the Mary storyline. The other is Colm,
the McKenzie returns.
Colm McKenzie. Which other Colm would there be?
I mean, I just love that they call him the McKenzie, since he is the chief of the McKenzie clan. He's like the, you know, like Jamie would be the Frasier, I guess.
Sure. And then the other one is Stop Culloden. Mission Stop Culloden.
Yeah, exactly.
So Mission Stop Culloden is probably the simplest to go through really quickly. Essentially, they're like, we need to stop Culloden, which they've been saying for the past, season.
So part of it is like the army shows up to Inverness and it's like they're exhausted. They've been running from the British all this time and they have no food. They just, like, everything's bad. And for whatever stupid-ass fucking reason, Bonnie Prince Charlie, who, mock me, is an asshole. it's just insistent upon engaging with the British troops on Culloden Moor on this specific day, which it's been recommended to him by at least one of his advisors, who is, like, the least militarily intelligent of the group. So, like, that becomes a thing as a part of that. Claire gets some information that there's the possibility of doing a sneak attack because one of the British officers or commanders in the camp that's 12 miles from them is having a birthday and they won't be like attacking that day. So let's go and attack them while they're not going to be attacking us. And they think that's a good idea, but the prince can't even get his guys through the woods in the dark, and so it doesn't happen.
That's so dumb. Really, you should have just, like, gone with him to make sure that they didn't lose their way. They should have put somebody competent in charge of that. But
Which was
no,
recommended. It was
which was
recommended
recommended,
by
and
Jamie.
then it didn't happen, and then they're fucked.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that. Let's just really quickly do the Colm bullshit. I honestly, if I'm being completely honest, this storyline could have been put in literally any episode. I have no idea why it's being put into this one and minimizing the efforts
Oh, I
of.
know. I know exactly why. So we could have parallel brother deaths.
So dumb.
There are parallel brothers' deaths in
So
this episode.
Colm essentially is dying, which we've known for a while. And he just ambles up and is like, oh yeah, I'm dying and there's nothing we can do about it, so I'm here like settling everything before I go. And
Yeah,
he
settling the succession, more or less.
yes and Claire and he's just like, hey Claire, slip me something so that I can die. And she's like, okay.
Well,
And
no, what she says is suicide's a sin, but I'll give you something and you can make the decision, more or less.
sure.
Because she's not going to kill him.
No, she's not, but he's going to kill himself. That's the whole point. And he's just like, please slip me something so that I can die. And it's like assisted suicide. And so she slips him something and keeps a hold of it until he's ready, which when he's ready is the funniest time in the universe to me. So essentially, he's talking to Jamie and Dougal, and he's just like, I'm leaving everything to my son, quote unquote, who's
Hamish.
actually Dougal's son, which he doesn't hesitate to remind him constantly of. And so he's just like, and also, guardianship is going to go to the most capable man I know, Jamie. And Dougal's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
You hate me. You're trying to screw me. He's always trying to screw me. Oh, the world's coming to an
He
end kind
gets
of thing.
very, very upset, but then he also, and Jamie's just like, well, if you think I'm not going to lead them to Culloden, then you're mistaken, because that's the whole point of why I'm here. So, but the thing is, Colm trusts that Jamie has the clan's best interest in mind. So if they need to get out of there for whatever reason, he trusts Jamie to accomplish that. And so,
And Dougal ain't gonna do that, and he knows
no,
it.
he will just let them all die for one reason or another. And so that's that. And then Dougal like comes to him and is just like, I'm so fucking pissed at you. You know all this shit that you've done to me our entire lives, blah 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 blah. And in the middle of the fucking conversation, Colm dies because before the conversation, he drank the poison. Which, what a way to get a final word. That's so
Well, but
ridiculous.
so like there's the conversation that has Jamie, and then Dougal goes off and gets really, really drunk and comes back. And the way it's set up, I will say this, Dougal's kind of monologue to
No, it's
Colm
fantastic,
is
but
the performance is really incredible. It's very moving. And it kind of tells you like he's such a passionate guy. But one of the things that Colm had said before he drank the poison was that, I'm going to lose myself because of my body. Dougal's going to lose himself because of his mind. His mind's broken. And he says that to Jamie. And Jamie's kind of like, I'm going to just store that away for a while. But not much longer. But so that's pretty much it. Like he does get the last word, and Dougal really is just like broken.
he's like, fuck you.
Yeah.
So let's get into the
Oh,
other.
wait, there was one other thing in that. So Colm had told Jamie that Galis Duncan had her baby.
Oh, right. Sorry.
So Galis Duncan, as you may recall, was pregnant and going to be burned as a witch, but apparently they let her have the baby first, which
Which she literally said the baby is a spawn of Satan.
she
She
so
did not give
unlikely.
them any chance to like let that baby be
There
born.
are things about that whole scenario that I don't fully remember, but I know like we don't know everything because there are things that are unexplained later. But see, according to Colm, she had the baby. The baby was given to Wee Willie McKenzie and Wee Willie McKenzie's wife because they couldn't have kids and sent off to North Carolina, to Salem, North Carolina, off to the Americas. And so, but they've never told Dougal about it. And apparently no one's going to do all
Which
that.
is crazy to me because I'm just like, okay, well, what is Dooku gonna do? Like, knowing that he has a son out there, what is he gonna do about it? Is he going to go to the colonies and, I mean, I guess
Is
they
he
just
gonna
don't.
like stop fighting for
I also
Scotland?
think that that's not really fair on Willy and his wife to not tell Dougal about it and give him the chance to take away the baby because at this rate, if Dougal were ever to find out and like want to take the child back at any age, that's like all this time invested in this child that they've grown to love this child as their adopted child, and then Dougal's just gonna swipe in and kind of in some ways have a right to like want to be in his child's life and take his child away if he wants to, and that's not really fair on them at all, really. But it doesn't come to that, but
It
you
does
know
not come to that.
but you gotta think ahead.
Well, right, but apparently, all
Because
Colum.
you know Dougal's gonna do some shit,
Well, right, but all Colum is really thinking about is keeping Dougal from being a moron, which
Oh
is
no, he has a son. He has many
yeah, but
sons.
he's. I think it's more or less like keeping him on just the right size box. Like things where Dougal can't do too much damage. And that's part of the reason he respects Jamie. Like you give him power, but not so much that he can fuck things up irrevocably.
Yeah.
And that's why he's respecting Jamie. But anyway, Colm dies. Timeline, we find out that
Okay, not
Claire,
parallel timeline, but
okay.
parallel storyline.
Yes. Claire runs into Mary Hawkins because she needs
She's
replenish.
randomly in Inverness, which I mean, it's explained by the fact that Alex Randall, who she is reconnected with, is working in Inverness. Well, he's not working, but like he's been
He
there.
had been.
He had been, and he's really sick, as foretold by his coughing.
Well,
And that does not sound like coughing. Please don't. Please stop. I have to listen to this later. Please don't do that. Other people have to listen to this.
could be phlegm. Phlegm happens.
But there wasn't, Mom.
An
Could you please
excess of
stop?
phlegm. Isn't this a Harry Potter thing?
Anyway, so she runs into Mary in the store, and Mary's really short with her. And she's just like, and Claire's like, "So what's your problem?" And Mary's just like, "You tried to take Alex away from me by saying that, trying to convince him not to marry me, which is absolutely fucking true." And
Exactly.
Claire's like,
Claire's like,
"But I'm not."
ah.
It's like, fuck you, Claire. This is exactly why you don't meddle in other people's business. It's their life. And I think this opens up a broader conversation about like if your friend was in this situation, which I would hardly call her married friends. However,
No.
if someone you know was in this situation and somebody and like they wanted to get married, but the guy was sick and you knew it wouldn't really go much further, discounting all the future
Right,
bullshit.
the person that you talk to is Mary.
Exactly,
It's not the guy.
it was
Like,
not
that's
the guy like
absurd.
cornering the guy and being like, you can't marry her because of this.
It's
It's
like,
like,
fucking
no.
stop it,
Claire,
Claire.
also, these are grown ass adults who can, or according to this time, grown ass adults who will be making these decisions anyway, and it's up to them. Do you want her to marry an old guy who will also be horrible? And like, it's like, no.
Someone that you know is like is fucking terrible, and that is a theme that is explored sort of
Not
in this
really.
episode, not nearly as much as it ought to
It
be, but
really should
it's
be
sort of.
studied because it's so confusing. Anyway, so she randomly finds out where they're staying somehow, and
Oh,
she goes and visits.
Mary tells her.
Oh, sure. She goes and visits, and he's coughing up a storm, which means he's close to death. And so.
I could do it. I really could.
Please don't. I beg of you, please don't.
Anyway, it's bad.
It's
And
really
actually,
bad.
this performance is kind of interesting. It's actually not that badly
It's not
done.
easy to die
No,
on stage or on screen.
it's certainly not easy to die from galloping consumption
I
or
have
whatever
gotten
the
the
hell
note,
happened.
or I don't know if I've gotten the note, but like other people I know have gotten the note, die better. And so
Natalie's died on stage a number of
I
times, so
have.
yeah, dying better, I guess, is a talent.
Yeah, well, sure. It's just like you're being stabbed. I know you don't know how that feels, but like, pretend.
That's the classic story. You've heard that, right, about Christopher Lee?
No.
So, like, Christopher Lee is on set with, I think it was Lord of the Rings, where they're talking about like what happens when people get stabbed. And he stops Peter Jackson and he's like, no one's gonna make that noise when they're actually stabbed. And they're like, oh, how would you know that? He's like, I've heard people stab, because of course Christopher Lee like had been special ops and all this other
Oh, well,
stuff. So
yes.
he's like explaining them like what the sound they make is like, huh, and that's kind of it. You know, it's like,
Yeah,
it's
that makes
not
sense.
like that. It's not like you're thinking, it's not like,
No. Yeah, I've never really loved a melodramatic death. I mean, like, okay, melodramatic in like the vocalization of when you're stabbed or like shot or something. I prefer a shock and then like a mellowing out of your body, depending on the kind of death. Because if
Well,
you're
okay,
dying,
if
like
you're
really,
Juliet. Mm-hmm.
oh well, yes, I've played Juliet before, and the funny thing about that, now that you've brought it up, is the fact that I was originally going to have a retractable knife, and I wasn't told that it wasn't retractable, but I could tell it wasn't, and it was like sharp. Well, it wasn't sharp, but it was like a blade, and so I was just like, no one explicitly told me this isn't retractable, but I know it's not, so we're not going to take any chances. And so I aimed like to the side of me. And so that turned out well. But and in that moment, okay, if you're being like melodramatic, as in like the way I played that was I was scream crying, and like it ended with me like screaming in like anguish and then stabbing myself. That's something
That's a
that
choice.
that's a cho it's a cho it was a choice. I was a freshman. It was a choice. And I think it worked for the most
Work. It
part.
did work. We liked it.
You liked me stabbing myself.
No, we liked you as Julia. That was
Oh,
cool.
that, I appreciate that.
And the thing is, there are a lot of potential acting choices. This particular acting choice,
It works.
I think it's really rather well done the way
It
they
feels
do this.
realistic.
Yeah, it's like way better than a lot of your La Boheme kind of dying from coughing kinds of
Or
things.
dying from AIDS and rent,
Yeah, AIDS,
and
AIDS,
then being revived by song.
AIDS. But it can happen. It doesn't happen in
No,
this show, by the way, just in case you're wondering. So
Alex does not survive his AIDS.
Blackjack Randall shows up and Claire's freaking out
She's like, I'm not gonna help
I'm not
you.
going to help Alex Randall because of this.
That sounded like a
And
demon. I'm so sorry. But yeah, it gets weird because he walks in and obviously he really cares about his brother, and that's never been really called into question, even though he's a despicable human being. And so Claire leaves, and Randall's after telling Mary essentially, I can't do anything more for him. Like, he's not going to get better. I'm just like delaying the inevitable. And so Blackjack Randall's like, well, okay, then make him comfortable. And she's like, well, in return, I want some secrets about, like, this is how she gets the information about the birthday party and the potential ambush that they could do, which is crazy that he actually gave her correct information for that. Knowing him, that does not come lightly. And she surprisingly believes him and it's correct. But I think that's just, it's supposed to prove that he really, 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 really cares
Cares
about
about
his
his brother,
brother.
right?
And I think that's, it's supposed to humanize him, but then there are moments later on that just don't. And so I'm just like, yeah.
Yeah.
There was a moment where he was teetering on the edge of a best part, and then he
But
didn't, and then he
then,
ruined it for
no.
himself.
He ruins it for himself by being, oh yeah, Blackjack Rich.
Anyway, so she's taking care of Alex by doing something similar to what she did with Ned's asthma, of like a
Blowing
pipe
smoke.
with some different herbs and such, and
She also
that
blows
seems to
smoke in his mouth, which apparently, in certain circumstances, can relax
the
the
muscles.
muscles so that he can breathe a little more freely. But it's kind of a
It's a
weird
temporary
thing.
fix,
Yeah.
and so she tells
Just like
Jack.
arsenic is. And apparently they've been giving him arsenic.
That's crazy.
Yep.
But so essentially there's this weird like non-vocal exchange between Mary and Alex where Mary like nods and she's like ready for Alex to tell Blackjack something. And what he says is, "All right, well, get the minister." And Blackjack's like, "Oh no, not last rites." And it's like, "No. This is for your wedding."
You gotta slow this down
No,
because
I can't,
if
Mom.
you remember, Alex Randall is not a very succinct person. He is all about the flowery language. And that's part of the reason he did such a good job as the secretary to the Duke of Sandringham, right? And so this speech that he gives, that he's trying to give to his brother, I have trouble asking you this. It pains me, like kind of thing. And it just takes a really long time. But again, he's able to keep up this performance of death, which is kind of really pretty good.
Yeah, I've had to do coughing fits for acting with Marianne. She had that coughing stuff. It's first of all painful. Second of all, because like you're basically tearing up your throat every time you fake cough, and you also it for me personally, even though I was very proud of my performance as Marianne, that was the one part of the show that I was just like, nah, I could have done better.
It is extraordinarily well done in this circumstance.
Yeah,
But
he does
anyway,
really
like he's like,
well.
hey, you're gonna marry Marion, and
And
Blackjack's
Darcy's
like,
okay with that.
well, but Blackjack's the one that's like, no.
I will give Alex some props here. He's not springing this on Mary. He ha clearly has had a conversation about with Mary about this scenario, and they have talked through the fact that this is going to be the alternative. And so I appreciate that, but also warn your fucking brother before you're like, call the minister.
Right. But Claire at this point is like, and Blackjack storms off like, I'm not going to do it. And Claire's trying to treat Alex, but she tells Murtaugh who this actual sequence has gone on a little bit longer, and Murtaugh has been accompanying her since Blackjack had been there. She tells Murtaugh to stop or figure out where Blackjack's going. He ends up in a pub, and she goes to convince him.
Well, even before that, Murtaugh's like, I'll be the
I
godfather.
know. When they're going, he's like, not the godfather. He'll marry her. He's gonna marry
Oh,
Mary.
he mentioned that he's a good godfather to
Jamie.
Jamie, so why wouldn't I be a good father to this child? And then she's just like,
Well,
no.
what Claire says, and this is true, is there is a standard of living this girl's expected to maintain. You could die at Culloden. I know Blackjack's gonna die at Culloden, and he's gonna have an officer's pension. And that's going to sustain her and the baby going forward. And
It's
that's
true.
what I want for her. And that's clearly what Alex is thinking too. And it's something that Mary would be more comfortable with. And Murtaugh's like, okay. But he's such a sweetie. Oh, he's such a good guy.
He's so
He is such
fun.
a good guy in these last two episodes. I'm
I
just
think, in a
a fan. I
way,
love him. I just love him.
in many ways, I think it was also in retribution for, or in reparation for letting her get raped. Which, again, he didn't let her get anything. Like, literally, he was knocked unconscious and he couldn't have stopped that.
Right, but it, the head thing
But he
probably,
feels guilty
yeah, the
about
head
it.
thing probably felt a little harsh. The beheading of the rapist. It's a
Oh.
little harsh offering the head to Mary because Mary's
That was
kind of like,
funny.
okay, let's go.
And so he's like, maybe I need to go about this a different way. I'll marry you. It's
I'll
like,
marry you. Yeah,
I
he's
don't know
such
about
a sweetie.
that.
He's a
He
sweetheart. I
really
love
is.
him. It's kind of like having a cat. Like, here, I'm going to bring you a dead thing. Okay, that didn't work. I'm going to purr for you.
I'm going to get in your lap and purr. And I love you
Enough.
enough.
Exactly. It's very sweet. But
And you're
so,
grateful to me for providing safety and
and
warmth.
all of these things, yes,
Oh
all
my
of this
God, it is
stuff.
like having a
It's like
cat.
having it. Murtaugh's pretty awesome. Murtaugh.
Oh.
Oh, drinks at people. This is gonna get better.
I love it.
I know, but Murtaugh's really great. But Claire has to go and convince Blackjack to marry her. And he's like, you need
Because
to
she
talk.
knows the course of history.
Right.
Oh, also, Mary's pregnant.
Yeah.
We forgot to mention that.
Everybody knows she's pregnant by Alex, and
Yeah.
everybody knows.
Which,
And
you know what? That wouldn't have fucking happened if Claire hadn't, if Claire had, like,
left
succeeded
them.
in breaking them apart.
Right,
Like, fuck
exactly.
you, Claire.
Yeah, Claire could have stayed the fuck out of it and would totally have turned out fine.
It's true.
But so Claire goes to convince Blackjack to marry her, And he says, "I enjoyed every minute raping your husband, and I'm not sorry about it. And you're gonna leave this girl to me?" And she's like, "You're gonna die in a couple of
Yeah, they have that.
days."
They
Or
tomorrow.
tomorrow, I
Well,
think.
he reminds her. It's like this. That's the date you told me. And she's like, "Yep, the day you fucking die."
Exactly.
It's so funny.
And it's great, but as it happens, he ends up marrying Mary. And right after he marries Mary, Blackjack beats the living shit
Well,
out of Alex. I'm
yeah,
sorry.
Alex dies, which in the most awkward scene possible because they're not even like sitting there comforting the poor guy. They're
No.
just standing and watching and waiting for him to breathe his last.
It's
I'm like,
very
why are
sad.
you doing this like this? You could have
Yeah.
easily had Mary by his bedside holding his hand or something and comforting this poor guy as he leaves this plane of existence. But no, you just have them stand and stare. And it's really like weird and bizarre, and I hate that. I really hate the way they blocked this scene. And then Blackjack Randall goes and starts pounding into, not like that. He's
No, not
hitting
like that.
him.
Well, and that was one of the things he had assured Claire that he'd never done anything with his brother.
Yeah, but he let all of his frustration out on Alex's dead body and in front of his now like dead, I'm sorry, not dead, now grieving girlfriend, fiance, and
Oh, but they
pregnant.
still technically have to consummate this marriage. Think
Oh,
about it.
God, I
Like,
hate that. Hey,
you.
anyway, so that's that.
Yeah, it's really not good. But when they leave, Claire goes and explains what happened to Jamie, and Jamie's like, "What the fuck are you doing?" And Claire's like, "Look, I know a lot of things can still happen, and if there's some way by which Blackjack Randall survives Culloden, I told you that I would help you kill his ass, and I will help you kill his
And he's
ass."
like, oh,
Oh,
okay.
that's a turn on. Let's have
That's
sex.
fun.
But
They don't have sex. But you know,
they,
but they
well,
probably did off screen.
yeah.
Either way, that's the end of the episode. My best parts are Claire, because I appreciate her simultaneously helping things along with the Alex stuff, helping Colm and basically telling Jamie, I have a backup plan, and the backup plan stands that we're going to fucking kill this guy. It's like, all right, good. As long as you don't lose sight of that. Murtaugh, I fucking love Murtaugh.
He's so
And
good.
I also said Graham McTavish. Not
Yeah.
Dougal, Graham McTavish.
Yeah, and I did not write it that way, but that's exactly what I meant. So what I had was Murtaugh, who is, of course, unfucking believably awesome. Love him.
Love him.
Dougal's performance, or Graham McTavish's performance, which I think is fantastic. Jamie, I love in this episode because
He was fine.
I mean, he's just trying to talk them out of doing stupid shit. And like,
Yeah,
he
up for
does all the
Jamie.
right stuff. Like, I'm gonna do this and the prince should come with me, and he fucking doesn't. Claire, I think, is good in this. She's not amazing to me. But yeah, there are worse parts in this episode too. What were your worst parts?
Prince Charlie, fuck you.
God.
I also wrote down random column plot line. Like I said,
Dislike
no,
it.
I think it's a fine plot line. But it didn't need to be in this episode.
I disagree, and we'll talk
Episode.
about it.
Sure. I understand what they were trying to go for. Like we said, it's like the dual brother dying storylines. However, I think that Colm easily could have been dropped into any of these fucking like episodes where not much happened and been like, all right, well, let's do this now. And I feel like that would have worked just fine and it would have been a best part in that storyline. But for whatever reason, as soon as Calm like shows up, I'm just like, okay, well, we've already established these two storylines of Alex and stopping this and doing the ambush for the birthday. And obviously there's not going to be a lot of follow through with the birthday one. And I guess they were like, well, one of these plot lines isn't going anywhere. So let's have another plot line that actually goes somewhere. Which, I mean, I might take it off of the worst part list, but I truly believe they easily could have put Colm's death in a different episode and it wouldn't have
Okay.
changed much.
All right. What else?
Alex asking Blackjack to marry Mary. Again, I will give him his flowers. You did talk to your wife, your future wife, before then.
And she
However,
didn't know. Like, she had no fucking clue. I mean, Mary.
what? No, she
Mary.
knew.
She knows about the marriage. She didn't know how fucked up
No,
Blackjack
see, no,
Randall
Steve
is.
didn't know about
Well,
that.
And she had been
And I don't think
telling,
neither did Alex.
right, but she had been telling Claire about, oh, he's such a great guy. Oh, he's such a great guy. He's helped us out financially, blah, blah,
Because that's
blah.
what she's seen.
Right. And
Like,
it's
you can't blame her for
so
not knowing something she wouldn't know. And
perfect.
so, like, I'm sorry, but you can't. And Blackjack Randall for beating his brother's corpse in
Yeah.
front of his new wife, who was his brother's fiance.
Yeah. Totally hate fucking the prince. He's just like fucking terrible.
Useless.
Mock me, you're terrible. Mark me or mock me, pick one.
Both work.
Both work. Blackjack Randall. Oh Lord. This
I
guy
don't
is.
regret
I don't regret raping
raping
your
your
husband.
husband. Like, fuck
Oh wow,
you.
I enjoyed it. All the violence, all of it. I mean, it's just horrible, horrible. Alex's death, I think, is really, it's a great performance, but I think it's really sad.
It's
And
really
of course,
sad.
it has sad effects for Mary, which I think is awful. And I will disagree with you about the parallel plot lines. And the part of the reason that I like this, even though it is a little ham-handed, I agree, is again the pacing of this episode was still pretty decent. Like, if they didn't have that plot line, it's like, what the fuck would we be doing for this
And
however many
that's why I took it
parts?
out of the worst parts, because I was like, I don't think I would have found the Jamie plot line that engaging. So I guess this is a better plot line.
Right, but the other part of it, and one of the things I find really good is that juxtaposition of somebody that we consider to be kind of a bad guy. So Dougal is kind of a bad guy. He's more morally gray, right? But he's still kind of a bad guy. And they're trying to make Blackjack Randall into somebody who's morally gray, like he actually cares about his brother. Like, this is
No.
good. Like he goes through the gestures of caring about his brother, whereas Dougal does not.
Yeah.
But Dougal actually deeply does care about his brother, whereas Blackjack Randall just wants to beat the shit out of his body. It's like, whoa. I mean, it just is a really interesting character study, I think, for me, to compare those two sibling relationships.
That is interesting.
And like in that time period, because that time period was, well, we don't know, at least in this fictional universe, it is more extreme. In how the sibling really dynamics play out. And it's interesting to me too, like Blackjack Riddle has a good speech about his brother. He actually says, what kind of world do we live in where monsters thrive and the good people and the beautiful things die like from choking on their own blood? And that, 'cause he's talking about Alex, he knows that Alex is a better person than he is.
Well, anyone's a better
But he doesn't
person.
even try to be better. I mean, that's the thing. That's the difference we see with Dougal, is while Dougal and his brother have this really not good relationship, and overtly Dougal is very antagonistic to his brother, you know that Dougal would die for him. You know, it's just a different dynamic altogether. And I just feel like that idea of filial responsibility and filial love being explored a little bit is kind of an interesting thing. So that's what I liked about it. What grade did you give this episode?
B minus.
I gave it a B plus. I liked it. I felt it again, and we're going to talk about pacing generally with Outlander. I mean, I think that's going to come up in the next episode particularly. Probably as positive, but still, I do feel like the pacing of this episode is better than a lot of the ones we've had in this season. So I gave it a higher grade for that.
Fair.
Let's move on.
To the season two finale, episode 13, Dragonfly and Amber.
Yep.
So this episode is interesting because you have, much like the first episode of this season, you have two parallel storylines. Well, the first episode of this season had a storyline in the past, present, and then
Well,
went back
that's
to the
not present,
past.
like 1960s. Different past.
Well, it was the 1940s in the first episode of this season.
Oh,
And
right.
then it went to the past in the 1740s. In this case, there are two parallel storylines, one in the 1960s and one in the 1740s, obviously right before the Battle of Culloden. I
It starts
think,
out though with Roger and we love him.
I personally think
that we should just say what happens in the past and then do the future.
Makes sense. We can do it that way.
Because there, honestly, there's not a lot that happens in the past. Like, major events do happen, but like, as far as screen time is concerned, not a lot of time is spent.
Well, right, and the way they do it as flashbacks for Claire is not as effective as I think they intend for them to be. I think they want it to be this kind of very emotional thing where she's flashing back to things involving Jamie, and that last the day of the Battle of Culloden, which is when the flashbacks are set. But I think that honestly, we didn't necessarily need for it to be done. The for the episode to be structured that way.
I
But things
honestly,
move really well, so
it
whatever.
does. I, as much as I enjoyed this episode, which I'll go ahead and say I do, I also simultaneously think that our, well, my idea for the first episode of this season of cutting it off right after she has that encounter with the guy on the road, and then having the first chunk of that episode be in this episode instead would have made a lot more like linear storytelling sense.
I think that there are the way the story is told is not as smooth as I would have liked. So, in any case, the way I agree with you. So, what happens in the distant past is basically the day of the Battle of Culloden, where Jamie's trying to, like, first he starts out by trying to convince the prince not to do it, and the prince is like, "Oh, mark me, we're gonna do this."
You're my Thomas, blah, blah, blah,
Blah
blah.
blah blah. It's really annoying. And so Jamie's kind of like, "Look, what we're gonna do this." And Claire says, "There's a last ditch, real Hail Mary, unlike what you did
Blue
earlier."
sky here, but
Right, yeah. What if we poisoned the king, the prince, just like we had? I had this poison that Colm took.
this is when Jamie's finding that out.
In this conversation, Dougal's overhearing it.
And
And
so he has
Dougal.
a fight about it because he's upset about betraying the Jacobite cause. And he wants to kill Claire, but obviously Jamie's not going to let that happen. And then they have a brawl, and then
It's
Claire ends
not
up
just a
helping.
brawl. A brawl is like a fist
We
fight.
don't have to
This,
take so much time on it,
no,
though.
but there's like knives and swords and all of
A
this,
brawl.
a brawl. And finally, right at the end, Jamie's able to turn the dirk, the knife, back on Colm, not Colm, on Dougal on the floor, and Claire assists him in stabbing the knife into Dougal's chest, and he dies. Which is like, holy shit.
Then
And
Rupert wanders in and is like, fuck this.
I'm
And
like, what the fuck just happened
I was
here?
gonna say this in the last episode. I forgot to. Not last podcast episode, but about the last episode. But they've really reduced Rupert to, I miss Angus. And I'm just like, you can take
It's
his
boring.
grief. I think that obviously exploring the grief of losing a really close friend is very interesting. However, when it comes to making that his only character trait, I'm not in full support of that. But now he at least has a different thing of like, I need to kill Jamie in retribution. And then Jamie's like, give me 2 hours. And he's like, fine, but then you're going to have to
You're a
pay for
dead
your
man.
crimes. And
Part
Jamie's like, fine.
of what's great about this whole scenario involving the death of Dougal is that Jamie tells Murtaugh, he's like, about fucking time, man.
That's
Which
funny.
I love him so much. Have I said
Yeah.
that before? Yes,
We've
I think
said
I
it before,
have.
yes, but it's true. And
But it gets better than that. So Jamie has a plan, and Jamie's like, all right, I'm going to sign over the deed to Lallybroch to
nephew.
my nephew, with it in trust to my sister and her husband. And it's going to backdate it to before I was a rebel, so it's going to be okay. I'm going to have Fergus deliver it, so Fergus is out of here. I am going to have Murtaugh take the men back to Lallybroch so they aren't getting killed on Culloden on the field. I'm going to take Claire back, put her through the stones, and he's telling basically Murtaugh, like, this is what's going to happen. And Murtaugh's like, yeah, that's all fine. I'll be here when you get back from the stones because you and I are going to do this battle thing together.
Yeah.
I love him so
Jamie
much.
fully intends to die
at the Battle of Culloden, and Claire knows that, and she's not happy about it. But she also really can't do much about it at this stage, because even if he were to survive the Battle of Culloden, the Mackenzies would be after him because of the Dougal death, which Rupert would tell them about. And also, he would be a rebel to the crown, so they'd be after him. So really, his existence would be not great if he were to survive the Battle of Culloden. Anyway, hint, hint. And so, essentially, what happens is that he's like dragging Claire, like kicking and screaming, essentially.
She has no idea where the fucking stones are. It
She
amazes
knows where she's
me.
going.
She does eventually, like, because he tells her, but it's like she
She knows where
just.
he's taking her,
She's
obviously.
so annoying. She is so annoying. I'm sorry, but like her complete lack of sense of direction.
Whatever. I don't really have a good sense of direction. I can attest to, like, I would be fucking lost. Either way, so they're dr being dragged. She's being dragged to the stones, and Jamie's just like, "You realize I'm going to take you to the stones, whether or not you like it or not." And she's just like, "Well, if I were being sent to the stake when during the witch trials, would you have just left or whatever?" And he's just like, "Yeah, no, I wouldn't have, but I'm not carrying your child." And she's just like, "How do you know that?" And he's just like, "I know your period, babe." And then she's like, "You know my period? Oh my God, that's so
It is sweet, honestly.
sweet." Yeah,
I mean,
it's nice that he pays
as someone who is
attention.
not as regular as obviously Claire is,
Claire seems to be the most regular person in the universe.
she
She
does.
says that she's never been more than like 2 days late. Like, what the fuck?
That's important. Look, I was not regular at all. You were a miracle baby, just saying.
Yeah,
But
well.
the truth is that is remarkable.
Yeah, mine's more regular than yours, from
I'm
what
not
I've.
sure that our listeners
It doesn't matter.
better experience, but yours is a lot more regular than mine ever
Yeah,
was.
but it still can be off
I would
by.
go years without. So it's
Holy
like,
shit, mother.
that's a thing.
Anyway, that's not how mine is. Mine is so much more regular than that, but like, it can still be off by like maybe a week or so. It's happened before. Like, apps are not completely accurate. It doesn't
Anyway,
matter. But we live and we learn, and it's sweet that he was paying attention
and
to
they didn't
that.
have an app back then, just
No.
saying, and he was keeping track, and it was just terribly sweet.
Yeah, it's very sweet. And so she's just like, but I,
But
dang
I
it.
love you, damn it. And
Yeah.
he's like, what he says, and this is so terribly sweet. What he says is, when I stand before God and explain to him, like, I've killed, I've lied, I cheated, but you gave me a remarkable woman to love, and I loved her well. And
Oh,
then they have sex, which is
holy shit,
amazing,
at the
right
stone.
at the stones. And
Oh my
she had
God.
heard the buzzing, and she wasn't ready to go. And he's like,
That is
okay, let's talk about this. Let's have some sex,
when he's
which they
like when he
do.
almost like growls, and I loved her well. Oh my God, my knees went weak. Holy shit. Oh, that's so sweet.
So you don't have to like take everything off. It's awesome.
Okay. I was gonna say it was swoon worthy, but yeah,
It
that's also
was,
true.
hey, all of it was swoon worthy. I'm sorry.
And I got wet. Like, what do you want me to
I
say?
really didn't need to know
And I
that.
didn't
That
actually.
is
In
totally
reality, I didn't.
TMI.
But I was. I actually didn't. But like, it's just.
Especially TMI. But the bottom
And
line,
also inaccurate. It just seemed like the thing you wanted me to
no,
say.
the thing that is amazing to me is how articulate that emotion is in this book,
I
which
think
of
he's been
course I think every
practicing.
girl loves the idea that some guy is actually going to say all this stuff. We don't expect it.
No, and that's what makes it more sweet when it happens. And I think that Jamie, in this moment, like he's pretty well spoken about this stuff,
Remarkably well
remarkably,
spoken.
more than most men. However, I also think that he has been preparing for this moment for a while, even though he's dreaded it and he doesn't want it to happen. But he knows that if this entire time when they've been trying to stop Culloden, but also have seen its inevitability, he's had to prepare for what am I going to say to this woman before I let her go and never see her again. And
I don't know. I think that it's only fair that he's prepared these words and
Right.
he.
But one of the other things that is interesting, because Claire is like, can you hear the buzzing? And he can't.
And he even
And
touches the stone
he
at a different
touches the
part.
stone. And he's like, but I belong here. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm where I'm supposed to be right now. I can save you and our child. And that is so important to me. And I want you to do that for me because this is all that's going to be left of me. It is so powerful in that context. It's beautiful. And so he actually
Dreadfully
like
sad.
guides her hand, like while they're kissing, guides her hand to the stone. She goes through the stones. And of course, then we get to what was the
Well,
beginning of the
another part of the
season.
blocking, I think this scene was really well blocked of they're facing each other and he slowly is backing her up towards the stone and but like not breaking eye contact with her. And the only time that she like hesitantly has to turn around and like he physically has to force her to do it, I think that was well blocked because it
For
just
sure.
shows that she really doesn't want to go. She's not just like, all right, that's what has to be done. Gone. And it's like, no, this is really physically painful for both of them. And I think that this further shows how like much of a bond they have.
If we haven't talked about it, both of these actors, and it's not just the chemistry, it's that they are able to convey that this incredible sequence of events where you're like, you're going through the stones, and we're going to talk about the improbability of that from the modern mindset going forward in this episode. They are able to convey that as being a credible, real emotional experience in a way that you kind of buy in. And
I
it's
also
just
will
remarkable.
say there has to have been a part of Jamie that thought this wasn't real. Like, there has to have been because I think that it, regardless of
He's
how
wide
much,
open. Maybe he won't.
well, I also think that like just whenever you believe in something, it's amazing if you can believe in it wholeheartedly without any doubt, and that's fantastic for you if that's true. However, there's always going to be that seed of doubt, and I think
For
that he
most of us,
was.
especially in the modern era, definitely.
I think that for Jamie, he believed Claire's story for real. He did. However, it's like,
He's kind of hoping
yes,
it won't be true.
yeah, there's going to be a part of him that doesn't want it to be true. And so I think that's part of the willingness to like push her as far as he does of like, well, maybe. And then she disappears. It's like, oh, fuck. God damn it. She was right. She is
She
from the
was
future.
right. Yeah, we just had sex, you
Yeah.
know.
I mean, he absolutely like she was correct about all of these things about the future for them. It's like, all right, yeah, well, obviously
I haven't
that's
been able to
true.
deny it. Fuck,
Exactly.
yeah.
And now it's just the truth and it's just laid bare.
And well, and my fate's, he feels like his fate is sealed too, I'm sure, on
Oh,
some level.
definitely. Because it's not like she was just like, well, I know you from
Well, and
history and I know that you did this or
here's
like when you died or
but
whatever.
here's a spoiler for things going forward. You don't get the full effect of what happened after from his point of view
Right.
either. So
Yeah, it stops. You don't even get to see him like left alone. It's
no.
just him pushing her towards the stone.
Right. And we get a lot of things from Claire's perspective because she is the protagonist. And so looking from Claire's perspective, we have this experience and the way this episode is structured. We begin with the funeral for Reverend Wakefield, and we see Roger as an
And then in
adult.
"1968."
He's the cutest thing.
Oh yes, I
He's
love Roger. I will say,
Natalie wants someone like Roger in case you're interested.
yeah, that's
Yeah,
true.
I think he'd be.
I genuinely do. And so I would just like to say, so this we are now going into the future segment, which is in 1968.
Yep.
If you remember, Galus Duncan mentioned this music
Gayla's
might be important. We don't know.
smoking. We do.
We do. But we meet some new characters, too, in fact. They're not necessarily new. Like we know who they are and they have been seen or mentioned in passing. However, they're new to us as adults. And one of them is Roger Wakefield. We saw little baby
Roger.
Roger a few times in Reverend
He's a
Wakefield's
cute
care.
adult
What
too.
his deal is that the Reverend Wakefield took him in, him and his wife took him in. After his parents died in World War II, and so he was the adopted child of them, and he was there for Frank's
episodes and shit.
Yeah,
And
all the things where Claire was missing.
when Claire came back. And so he was like 6 or 7 when that happened,
No.
but
Well, he was like 8 when she returned.
something like that.
Something like that.
And so he was there for that. And so he's holding a wake for his adopted father. And he's greeting everybody, and Claire is there along with her daughter, Brianna. So
Who has red
Brianna,
hair?
well, obviously, this is the child that Jamie had with her,
Yeah,
clearly.
obvious. I mean, Claire's not redheaded. It's not an obvious thing she's gonna have
Yeah.
a redhead, but she is redheaded. We're
Anyway,
gonna have re wild redhead drinks sometime
we
in
just
future
talked about the
seasons.
fact that Claire was pregnant, and we have talked about that in the past. We know that this is Claire and Jamie's child.
Right, very clearly. Her name is Brianna.
Her name is Brianna.
And I will point out that the housekeeper, whose name I can't remember, her daughter
Mrs. Graham.
Fiona, and Mrs. Grant's daughter Fiona,
Granddaughter.
whatever, Fiona has this huge, very obvious crush on Roger, much, not much like, because I think Fiona is a better person, much like Leary has on
Fiona's
Jamie.
definitely a better person, but it comes across that she has this big crush on Roger, whereas Roger clearly has a big crush on Brianna after knowing her for like 50 seconds.
Oh, which is
And
true. Like, it's the whole Jamie Claire thing. Like, oh
very
my
much.
Lord, there's chemistry.
And there is, genuinely, I
Oh,
think they have
yeah.
great chemistry. And
Yes, they do. I have issues with
I know you
Brianna. We're gonna
do.
talk about them
I know you do.
a lot.
I
Because
know.
in seasons going forward, it's like, oh my Lord, she's awful.
Okay.
She's awful.
I'm of two minds about it. I have very, very mixed feelings about Brianna.
I
And
think they try to evoke mixed feelings about Brianna. I just want to slap the shit out of her.
my mixed feelings about Brianna are that I see where she's coming from a lot of the time. Like, emotionally, I get where she's coming from. How she presents it to other people, I don't agree with.
Yes.
And so I can't, it's almost like a villain, a morally gray villain, where I can see where
It's
you're
like a
coming
Doolittle
from.
thing. It's like a Doolittle thing.
Maybe, honestly, like, because I'm like, I get that you're hurting, and I know that you have like
You
all
have
these emotions.
trauma, but you
Yeah.
don't really have trauma. I mean, I'm sorry, like, my definition of trauma is very different from
Well,
normal people.
we're
Well,
gonna,
not normal people, but
I was about to
average
say,
people's
what?
definition of trauma.
Anyway,
I don't
so
think that Brianna has trauma. I'm putting that forward.
great. Not what we're talking about right this second. I can see from an emotional standpoint of even sometimes a logical standpoint why she acts the way she acts. I don't think she needs to act the way she acts, like vocally to other people's faces. But you can certainly think all this shit, but like, I don't think you should say all of it out loud. So we're getting ahead of ourselves. So essentially, they meet, instant fireworks with him and Brianna.
Yeah, I
Cute.
mean, just like first sight, kind of like, oh, you can
You're hot.
tell
You're
that.
hot. We're intelligent.
Yeah. Yeah.
Both into history. She's at Harvard.
So
He's a
cute.
professor at Oxford.
And they're
Hot.
so cute.
They are
Even
adorable.
like, I mean, that part of it is very cute.
And I think that's another reason why I'm like mixed with Brianna, because I really like her and Roger together, and I really like
I
Roger.
think the truth is you like Roger. I like Roger particularly in the next series of things. There are points at
There are
which
points where Roger does
where
not
Roger's
add up.
like,
But
oh
that's also true
Lord.
for literally every character on this show. I can love a character, but there will always at least be one moment where they really fuck up, and I'm just like, damn.
I'm not sure that's true with Jamie.
No, I don't think it's true with Jamie. Here's
Okay.
some moments with Jamie where I'm just like, yeah, I don't think you need to say that. Maybe you
I'm
shouldn't do that.
struggling to remember
It's
any
not,
single incident about
I will
Jamie.
admit, with Jamie, it's not like a huge one that I can think of off the top of my head, but there are some little ones that add up that I'm just like, no.
I struggle with that with Jamie, whereas I don't struggle with it with Roger or Brianna. But we have lots of seasons and episodes to come, so let's keep going. So we see them all at this funeral. Roger's like, "Hey, why don't you stay with me? Because going back to London, it's a long drive." And both Claire and Brianna are like, "Okay."
And they've clearly packed for multiple days, for sure.
They're staying for multiple days, whereas, like, he's invited them for one night and they stay for days and days.
That's the Roger
It
effect.
is the Roger effect, which is cute and it's fine.
That is cute.
So
They're going sightseeing.
as part of it, Roger and Brianna go sightseeing. They go to Fort William, which Brianna finds creepy.
What I said was her time traveler senses were tingling. Something bad
Yes.
happened here and I don't like it, but
I'll
their
be honest
banter
with
is really
you.
cute.
I'll be honest with you. In real life, as a human being, when I was very small, my parents took me to Gettysburg and I had that reaction. I've had that reaction in multiple places that I've been to where, like, the hairs all stand on end. Like, ah, this is not okay being here.
Maybe you're a time traveler and you just don't know it. Anyway,
I haven't been to Kirkland. You need to try that out.
shit. Where would we go? I wonder. Anyway.
I'd do it. I am all in. Let's go.
Anyway, so while they're doing their sightseeing trip, Claire is off doing her own sightseeing trip, where I'm just going to shorten this because a lot of time is spent on this. So Brianna and Roger, they're talking, and she's just like, something weird happened while my parents were here in Scotland last, and they haven't been back since, and I'm
What's up with
concerned.
that?
So
Yeah.
her and Roger become this little detective duo. This seems to be like a thing with them, which I kind of love for them. They're both nerds into history, so they're both like, let's crack open the case and let's find out.
Into history is definitely a thing for me, so there you go.
And then
I'm
Claire.
sorry, just pointing out that married to one of our major listeners who is a history major. Does this say anything?
Anyway,
Putting it out there.
Claire, meanwhile, is off doing her own sightseeing mission. She goes to Lallybroch, which is the now condemned building. And so she's just like, okay, well, I'm going to go to the register's office and see. It what the
Indeed.
yeah, let's figure out who owns this and what they can do about it. And then she finds this the paper that was signed in the 1740s, and she starts getting emotional and all that stuff. They let her keep it. I don't understand
It's got
why,
her signature on it. It's
but
so
they
cute.
don't
No,
know
but
that.
it's so cute.
No,
I
it's
thought they
adorable.
gave her a copy. I think
Okay,
they
they
gave her a
better
copy.
have given her a
I
copy.
think they gave
Jesus
her a copy.
Christ. But either way, so she has that, and then at one point she even goes to the Fraser Stone at Culloden, and there's the stupid interaction.
She go before this. She goes to the museum at Culloden.
Oh,
Someone's
this is
like
so dumb.
mentioning, like, oh, Bonnie Prince Charlie is really tall. She's like, not that tall in real
She's
life.
just one of those
I'm
people
like,
who's just like inaccurate.
well, I've been there.
Okay. You've been one of those people. All right, great.
obnoxious. You've been to museums with me.
That's true. Anyway, so essentially she is there at the stone for the Fraser clan at Culloden, and there's this person putting flowers at that specific stone, and they're just like, are you a Fraser? And she's like, yes. And then the conversation ends. And so
Fucking weird.
that's weird. What was that? Okay. And then she has this like mini montage of her talking to Jamie because what she did essentially after Frank told her stop chasing ghosts was she literally never, but not that she never thought of Jamie, obviously she did, but she never really gave herself the catharsis of like talking into the ether or to heaven or to wherever Jamie was, and she never let herself have that closure in any way. And so she tells him all about Brianna and how she's named after her father, her grandfather, Brian Fraser. And
He's cute, by the way, on Blood of My Blood. Just
so
pointing it out.
cute, so cute.
Hot
And
dude. Yay.
how it's a very sweet thing. And then she's just like, I wanted to do all of that because I never really got to say goodbye, really. I never said the words goodbye. And so she bids him farewell. And then later on, Brianna and Roger have been like
Digging
looking
around
through
in
Reverend Wakefield's
documents.
stuff, and they find the newspaper clippings of
Hey, you have skipped a major Roger and Brianna thing where they have gone to the university and they have heard a speaker, and the speaker is,
Galus Duncan.
Great. Kayla's doing it under the pseudonym of Gillian Anderson or something like that.
Not
Gillian
Gillian
Edwards.
Anderson. It's Gillian something other than
Edwards, maybe.
Anderson.
But in any case, she's talking about the greatness of Bonnie Prince Charlie's like not so fucking great. But inspired by this, the person who had been listening primarily was Brianna, and Brianna's like, yeah, you're cool. And Galus gave her a flyer with her picture on it that later, even after this conversation we're
Is
about to talk
important.
about, has her picture on it. So there we go.
Yes.
Proceed.
Anyway, so Brianna and Roger have been snooping around and they find the newspaper clipping of, oh, she was kidnapped by fairies and she was gone for 3 years.
Talking
And
about Claire.
yes, obviously. And so Brianna confronts Claire and is just like, she put a lot of dots together. Because she did math and she's just like, you were 3 months pregnant when you came back to my father. So clearly you had an affair. What the fuck? You've never told me this and I'm 20 or 21 years old. What the fuck are you doing?
And she's like, you fucked some guy,
Yeah.
basically.
And honestly, does she know any better? No. So like that, her immediate assumption being that, like in confronting her mom about like not telling her or whatever, that makes sense to me.
You
And
don't do it in the way that she did, though. I think the language she uses, the way she presents, is extremely obnoxious.
but she also, what was established in these few moments that we see of her with Roger is that she's a major daddy's girl. She absolutely
Oh,
adored Frank. And she really idolized him, put him up on a pedestal. And so her mother's always been off in her own little world to her, while Frank has really acted like a father and like been there for her and all that stuff. And so she's never really been close with Claire.
right. We also, and I failed to mention this, Claire is now a doctor. She's no longer a
She's a
licensed
third.
nurse. She is a board certified surgeon. She has like obviously a very important career that will be explored later. And it is obvious that she kind of comes across as married to her work and not so
More
much
aloof.
involved with her daughter.
And that will be explored later. But at this point, from what we know, Brianna's just always been cl was closer with Frank. And oh, Frank's dead, by the way. We did not mention that, but Frank is
Yeah.
dead. We do not find out anything about that until next season. Either way. Essentially, so she's just upset with her mother for you fucked another guy and what you've never told me that I was the product of an affair. Like, what the fuck are you?
Yeah,
What?
you fucked around with some guy while my dad. You're horrible. And
Well, and Claire, what Claire is like, okay, well, can you stop
I
that?
am sorry. I'm sorry.
Essentially, Claire's like, well, it's complicated because obviously it is, but Brianna's just like, no, you fucked somebody. What the hell? And obviously, she just doesn't understand the logistics of what happened and why that happened. And so Claire tries to be like, all right, well, I know, obviously, this was Frank's idea not to tell you. And so I didn't. And now I am going to tell you that your father is Jamie Fraser. And she's just like, I don't want to know anything about him. Like, he, like,
Find this valid. I think this
I don't
is
find
like
this
totally
part
stupid
valid.
because she's like, I want to know the truth. I
And
need to know
Roger
the
does
truth,
bring
all
that
the
up.
truth. And he's like, even if it's bad, and she's like, yes, I want to know all of it. And then all of a sudden she's like, fuck no. What the fuck?
Yeah, and I think that,
Stupid.
and Roger does bring that up of like, you wanted the whole truth. And obviously, that this is not happening to Roger. This is happening to Brianna, who has her entire like worldview crumbling. But I also do think it's a bit odd that they separate these two conversations about Jamie for whatever reason. I think they just wanted to make the episode longer, if I'm being honest. Because
There is an
honestly,
element of
it would
that
have made a
certainly.
lot of sense for her to be like, all right, tell me about him. And save this all this other shit. Either way, so she her and Roger go to a pub to cool down because she essentially tells Claire, I wish that you were the one of my parents who was dead.
Right. She says, I wish you were dead. And then, like, Claire, to her credit for whatever reason, goes looking for Galus Duncan. She sees the picture on the back of this flyer that's sitting around the house. And she goes looking for Galus. She
She goes off on her own side
right,
quest
like
after
she
this.
meets Galus's husband, who's a drunk. She clearly has a type. Love you, Galus. And she's abandoned him for like 3 weeks. And while there, Claire sees these notebooks and she sees that there are like standing stones in them. She's like, must steal these. And so when the guy passes out from drinking in front of her, like, it's bizarre. Claire steals the notebooks and leaves. Included in the notebooks that Claire has read through is that Galus believes you need a human sacrifice and gemstones to go through the stones. Not really sure about all that,
I'm
but
not
yay.
exactly, yeah, the human sacrifice is clearly untrue, but you
It's
know what?
gemstone.
Galus would think
But
that.
the gemstone thing is potentially partially true, although we never saw that as part of Claire's going through the first time.
Was though, because of her watch. It was her watch that had like a gemstone in it, and
Did
then
it? I'm so,
yeah,
super
I'm
unclear.
fairly
Anyway,
certain that's what happened
but
there.
bottom line is that it had been unclear up until this moment and the last episode of season two that you need gemstones to go through these
Well, the
stones.
rules don't make any fucking sense
They're
at all.
like physics, time
There are so many people, like, are there certain people who just have a proclivity to doing this? Like, are they just able to do it? Like, but Jamie is not.
So there are people who clearly are attuned to and are traveling through the stones,
Like,
and
there's gotta be
I'm
some
not sure
random
that
schmo out
that
there
number
who's just
10
like,
people have anything to do with this
well,
shit.
there's gotta be some random schmo out there who's just like, all right, well, I'm just, he gets drunk and then he's like, woo, buzzing, and then just goes back in time.
Buzzing is totally fun for all of us because we're having fun buzzing right now, right?
Yeah, anyway, so essentially what goes on here is Brianna gets back and is just like, fine, tell me about Jamie. Not like any of this like fucking weirdo bullshit about like, oh, because Claire does tell her, hey, this is how this happened. It was because of the Battle of Culloden, blah blah blah.
This is this, and that is that. I'm sorry.
Okay, and Brianna does not believe her, and
No,
so.
is like a total shithead about this. Like, I asked you for an explanation, and the explanation is not something I like, so I'm going to reject it.
Mom,
Fuck you,
let
Brianna.
me put this in perspective. If you were to go to your mother and was just like, hey, you told me for 20 plus years that I was my father's daughter and you lied to me, why was that? And then she told you, I time traveled and then I met this hot guy and then we
And
had
killed.
And then for 3 years I was with this hot guy, and then I came back, and then you're just like, well, that's just fucking untrue, isn't
That
it?
you would say that, except that Brianna has already seen the news clippings about this. Like, she's already seen the reward notices. She's already seen a whole bunch of stuff that indicates that her mother was gone for, in fact, 3 years.
Yeah, but she doesn't know where, and that's when she was
But you
asking, she's like, I went back in time. It's like, that's just not true, is it? Because that's not possible. In her mind, that is not possible. And I don't blame her for being skeptical about
The
that.
skepticism is certainly part of this.
You're a very logical person, Mom. If
I'm
I were to tell you I disappeared last Wednesday because I went back in time and met a hot guy, that would be really
and came
weird.
back pregnant, I would think that was a thing.
Exactly, that would be weird.
But no, I would think it's a thing because you're not pregnant now, and if you were pregnant in like 2 weeks, yes, that's a kind of a thing. But so here's what's interesting to me, and I love this about Roger. Roger tells Brianna, like, let's try to be open-minded about this. If nothing else, we can catch her in the lie. Let's go see what this thing that we heard about from.
They run into Galus Duncan in a pub, and Galus is like, I'm going out for a while because I want to further the cause. Obviously, that's code for I'm going to go through those fucking stones and kill
Well,
my
I mean, Claire
husband.
kind of put some of that stuff together, and they're like, all right, let's see if that's true. And Roger's kind of like, if nothing else, we will see. I love this. He's like, Galus, like, hitting herself against a big slab of granite, or, like, just prove to your mother that it's not true and she has to explain herself. And so they go out to the stones, and while they're at the stones, Galus has apparently set fire to her husband, which is who's I hope dead.
I think he was either knocked out or dead.
I really hope so.
That poor guy. He
Poor guy,
all he
it's
did was
very
care
sad.
about Galus, and then he just got killed over it.
Yeah,
And when he
poor.
like mentioned, "Hey, maybe you should get a job instead of spending all my money," and then she just was like, "I'm leaving you."
Yeah, really, like, but
Such a
Galus,
toxic thing to do.
whoa. But Galus,
Yes.
we will see as things go forward that Galus is not exactly the icon of purity that we are hoping.
We're not saying that she's an icon of purity. She's just an icon, period. End of sentence. Icon. She's just so crazy. She
Sure.
studies folklore, spends all of her husband's money on folklore classes, spends no time at home, and then when her husband's like, "Maybe you should get a job," she's like, "I'm leaving you.
No, not even.
I'm also gonna kill you and use you as a human sacrifice for something that might not work. For something that might not work."
And she does. So when they arrive, Claire, Brianna, and Roger arrive at the stones at Craig Lejeune. There is a conflagration of this poor dead man in front of the largest stones. Galus is like, yay. They see Galus run toward the biggest stone, put her hand against it, and disappear. And Brianna's like, holy shit, she disappeared. And Roger's like, yeah, she did. And they're all kind of like, we need to call the cops. Because, like, burning dead dude. And so Roger takes the car and leaves them there. A little weird.
Yeah, a bit, but Claire told him
Totally
to.
understandable. And
They
Brianna,
needed some time to talk.
right, and Brianna and Claire have this conversation where Brianna's like, oh my God, it happened. Oh my, I heard the buzzing. And both she and Roger heard the buzzing, which I think is very
Which is
important.
crazy.
And it's important going forward. So, Brianna is like, did you hear that buzzing? Oh my gosh, she just disappeared. Like everything you've said is true. And Claire's like, yeah.
Yes, but I don't blame Brianna for being skeptical.
Well, okay, I don't blame.
If you came to me and were just like, "This happened," and I went back in time, I'd be like, "No, the fuck you didn't."
It's the tone of skepticism that I
And I
think is
agree. As
inappropriate. Like,
I said earlier in this episode, I absolutely understand that what she says, like, "I wish you were the parent who was dead," or
don't say that shit ever.
"I'm not," but she
Good.
said it and I'm just repeating it because of that. And she was like, all of that shit, like just her tone of voice and stuff. And I also have this theory that I developed while I was showing my roommate Sophie these
You're a
seasons.
lot kinder to Brianna and Roger, really, than Sophie and I will
And
be
that's true, but
to that
I
one.
think what another element to why we don't like Brianna as much is because she has an American accent.
I don't think so. I
I
think
know,
my
I
issue.
think it makes her sound whinier. And so we
Possibly.
don't like her as much. So if she were British or something, it would have made
No,
a
I'm
little bit of a
sorry.
difference.
Mary is totally fucking whining. I hate her. I don't think that being British makes her more sympathetic. I don't think
I
being
just think it's
Scottish
the
makes her sympathetic.
I just think it could be a moment.
I find Galus really annoying too. I mean, on some level. I do think that what is annoying to me about Brianna, I mean, certainly there's an element of being American. Sure. I think the biggest thing that is annoying is her complete inability to understand or forgive her mother for any of the slights that she thinks have occurred. Like, she is such a daddy's girl. She is not able to comprehend that her mother might have reasons for the behavior that she's exhibited. And she's not willing to listen, despite the fact that, oh, yeah, I want to listen. No, you don't. You don't. You're closed-minded. And I do appreciate that in this show, they allow her to be not closed-minded for seasons upon seasons upon seasons.
Yes.
That's helpful. But I do think that the way she expresses herself often is in absolutes that are not grounded in anything other than childishness. And I think, there's some element maybe of
I don't
I
of just like she's gotten away with this for a very long time. Like
sure.
she's been very indulged for a very long time.
I
But
it
and Claire has suppressed herself for so long. And I think that that's part of where I'm sympathetic to Claire. It's like that idea,
Absolutely.
like that she it has this identity that her daughter has never experienced. I don't think her daughter even knows what it's like for her to be a surgeon, let alone what it's like for her to be this woman who had this amazing life in the Highlands, you know, with all of this adventure and all this other stuff. I don't think that she allows for that in her very limited worldview. And I think that's sad.
I'm in response to that, and I absolutely I understand what you're saying, and I do agree with a lot of it. I think that I don't want my defending Brianna to counteract any sympathy I have for Claire, because I truly do think that Claire, honestly, I don't blame Claire for not telling Brianna, because she
Right.
made the pact with Frank and now Frank's dead, and so what else
It's
is she
okay.
supposed
It's
to
like the
do?
pack's gone.
But at the same time, it's like this is all she's ever known. It's a little late now. I'm not going to like open up a can of worms that I can't close again. And again, she would have to go through all of this, like all these logistical things of just like, all right, well, I have to tell you the truth, but it sounds crazy and all that stuff. Luckily, when she right after she told Brianna, there was an instance of okay, this to prove that she's correct. This could have gone on for like months or years, even of her not believing her. But I'm glad that they condense it to a day. But I also think that Brianna, one element of Brianna that I think that often is taken for granted is her age. I think that her being 20, a college student, and not just not being close with her mother, I'm not saying it excuses her, but I'm also saying that it definitely plays a part into why she acts the way she acts. And she, again, was obviously closer to her father and doesn't really know how to talk to her mother, because her mother always seems too preoccupied with either work or her, in Brianna's mind, fantasies about everything else. And so I think that in general, she just doesn't know how to express herself in a mature way. And I think that's something.
I think her inarticulateness is common among, and even as you know, she's said to be like, oh, she got into Harvard on a history track or whatever because her daddy was a history professor or whatever. I feel like Rihanna is somewhat typically inarticulate in an American way. That's fair. I find it annoying in this context where, like, I feel like if she had listened or act or spoken to her mother in any specific kind of way, there might have been a better conversation than what we're seeing here.
I think, again, another element to it is we don't see her stop and take stock of everything that was said. We don't see her like really taking in the news that her mom told her. We're just seeing her knee-jerk reaction, and then immediately she's proven wrong.
Well, right, and
And
here's
so
yeah,
she
right.
doesn't have any time
Will.
to be like, oh, well, maybe there is some truth in that. But like what we see is her in an afternoon be told, yeah, your father wasn't your real father, and I went back in time and had sex with this man who I loved and was
Yeah.
the love of my life, and then I had to leave him, and you're his daughter.
Right. So the way this is portrayed too, it is somewhat hilarious. Like,
Oh, it's hysterical, truly.
so Roger and Brianna can, well, Brianna confronts Claire. Roger walks in. She's like, no, I want you to stay for Roger. And so Claire is in this position where she has to explain everything to Brianna with a witness that is not really part of
She didn't
their
mind.
relationship with Frank or anything else. And it's super fucking awkward. for
So funny.
Claire. It's so fucking awkward for Brianna. And truthfully, the words that come out of Claire's mouth initially are not as detailed as one would hope.
Because
So
Claire is again being caught unawares of like, hey, you're being confronted with this thing that I have never brought up before because I didn't know it existed, and you didn't know I knew any of this happened. I put the pieces together, and I'm confronting you. Why the hell did you screw this guy? And it's just like,
oh, you're talking
oh,
about Brianna and not Claire.
well,
Brianna says that
no,
to Claire.
Claire is being put in a corner or pushed back into a corner and like having to articulate something that is hard to articulate. She was able to do it with Frank after a week of
Yeah.
like digesting, figuring things out, figuring out the exact way she could tell
And Frank
him.
didn't take it well.
But no one's going to take that well, mother.
No,
But
no.
I think that's the point. And I think that's why I find these relationships that Claire has with Frank and Brianna so interesting, because she has this life so far removed from that, but also so intertwined. It's just so interesting. And I do love the dynamics. And again, the fact that we can have conversations like this is so fun, because you get to have like different points of view of like what
Sure.
their relationship looks like. And obviously they're conflicting, but at the same time, in many ways, it's just a complicated mother-daughter relationship that obviously needs some talking out. And
Yeah.
I one thing I will say is I'm glad Brianna is not perfect. Because if she were perfect, I would be very bored. And she would
Oh,
just
yeah.
be like another a know-it-all, like, oh, I didn't want another Claire. Whereas Claire can act stupid sometimes, she's extremely competent. Whereas Brianna is really headstrong like Jamie, but she's not as competent, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does. And I
I
think
didn't
that
want the same person, you know?
right. And there is a it's hard to call it uniqueness with Brianna, but I think and the reason that I say that is I find Brianna a little more two-dimensional than either Claire or Jamie.
Well,
And
yes.
I do
I agree with that.
hope for better for her. I find Roger, at least initially, very three-dimensional. There are points at which it becomes two-dimensional. I think it's poor writing.
Oh, for sure.
But I do think that he has this, and he even says it. He's like, be more open-minded. Let's at least allow for the fact that she believes it. And you know, I think that the thing he doesn't say is the thing that comes up in I have to confess how much I love C.S. Lewis's writing. So, like the line, The Witch and the Wardrobe, where
Sure.
you have the professor saying, if everything else makes no sense, then this is the only option, then it has to be true. I think that articulating that thought is lacking in this writing. Like, okay, she believes it. Has she ever told you? She's a very logical woman. She's very scientific. She's very all of these characteristics that you know about her, are those consistent with her making something up like this? And the answer is no. And it has to be no because Claire is a very scientific and medical person. And, you know, she has a lot of other flaws, but that's not one of them. And truthfulness really isn't one of them. You know, a lack of truthfulness really isn't one of them. She hasn't told you stuff. She's withheld stuff, but the stuff that she's told you has always been true. And so I think that that's, and that again is, you know, the professor in Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe says those things like, so between Edmund and Lucy, who's the more truthful? And it's always Lucy,
Because
right?
Edmund fucking
But
sucks.
Edmund does fucking suck.
Fuck
We've
you.
been watching. We've been watching a little C.S. Lewis. I love, oh my God, cannot speak to how much I love the Chronicles of Narnia. But that those truths that are expressed in that are resonate for a reason. And I think that that is something that possibly needs to be said to Brianna. Like, you need to consider how truthful your mother has been in other contexts. And so I think that that's part of the reason I want to slap Brianna.
And I think that's fair. And I again, we'll reiterate a certain point, but also expand on it. She has a lot of growing up to do. And I
Oh,
think that
yeah.
part of growing up is seeing your parents in a different light and getting to know them as people instead of just like a figurehead.
Hey,
And
we actually have a whole podcast that reflects that, right?
I thought so.
Yeah.
And so Brianna, and again, what would have been the most boring choices if they had a fabulous relationship and she didn't question anything Claire said and she just was like, yeah. And they just had a great relationship and didn't like do any of that shit. Because like if they didn't have anywhere to start from, you wouldn't notice a build. And I think that that's just a writing thing of like, okay, well, we have to build this relationship and make it complex. Let's not make it too easy for them to like just have this. Obviously, they're not going to villainize Claire, so they're going to villainize a different person who
Right.
has flaws and who's young and makes mistakes. And I think that is what Brianna is. And again, I can't believe I'm defending her this much. She does annoy me. However, I feel the need to because it's just like, well, again, what's the alternative? Like, could she have phrased certain things differently? Yes, and you would still get like the same result. I do agree that would have probably been better and I would have been more on her side. However, the way things stand right now, it sets up an interesting dynamic. So I
It
enjoy
does.
that.
I only have a bunch of seasons to go, so that's
We do.
important.
But that's just
So,
laying the groundwork.
right. So, importantly, the end of this season is sunrise at the stones where Claire's like, ah, Jamie's alive. So, what is
Oh,
revealed
well,
to her?
yes.
Jamie's alive in this other timeline. So, what is revealed to her is that Roger had found documentation that Reverend Wakefield had not sent to Frank. That indicated that one of the officers from the Fraser clan survived the Battle of Culloden, and that was Jamie Fraser. And Claire's like, ah,
I must go
he didn't
back.
die at Culloden. And you see the sunrise, like, yeah. It, oh, come on, you can do the whole Soprano thing, right?
I don't want to right now.
Oh, it's disappointing. She actually has a better Soprano than I.
Oh, that's very sweet.
It's accurate. Well, although they're similar.
You can go higher than I can, but
Can they
I
really?
probably. I don't know.
Questionable.
It
But
doesn't matter. Either
not.
way, I would also just like to say, and this obviously comes up in the next season because, like I mentioned last podcast episode or the podcast episode before, or just the beginning of season two,
Something involving Outlander.
of the whole idea of is it a 1-to-1 year comparison of
No.
how much time has passed? If she were to go back right now, would 20 years have passed for him? And I think that it would is a little short-sighted of her initially to I understand the knee-jerk reaction of I have to go back, but then she's just like, well, that he was just in a prisoner's camp right after Culloden. That doesn't mean he survived by any means.
She is a little unrealistic about a number of things involving possibilities that
But
happen
she
with Jamie.
does, I will give her credit. And from what I remember of the third season, she does a lot of planning. So
It's
she
so it's actually kind of cute. So,
is cute, yeah.
and we are going to get that to that in season three. But I think that much of her response, that idea that he didn't die at Culloden, gives her hope that she didn't have before.
Hope springs eternal.
It does. And of course we are kind of with it, but the way this is portrayed on screen is a little over the top.
That sun rises so fast.
Over the stones, imagine, oh, the stones. So I'm sorry I had to.
That's fine.
But we have much more to come. So what great, I'm sorry,
Best
what were your best
parts.
parts? Holy shit, I've been drinking it. What do
I
you
know.
expect?
Roger and Brianna, them together are really cute in this
They are.
episode. I really like them. And I would also like to say Roger by himself. I love
I
Roger. And
love Roger by himself. He's so cute in
we
this
have so much to say about Brianna, and we'll have more to say about Roger later.
episode.
However,
I
in
love
this
Roger.
episode,
Seriously.
I really love him, and I think that he's a great, not a foil for Brianna, but like a good compliment to Brianna. She is like really like, oh no, I'm so skeptical. I don't like that. And he's just like, well, maybe. Well, just maybe. And he's a little bit more whimsical than she is, and I like
He's
that.
also, like British Isles compared. Like
Yeah.
there's that idea of fairies, there's a little idea of
He has Scottish traditions ingrained in him.
I mean,
and they're a little bit more fantastical.
Yes.
And
which is great.
No, which is so fun. And I love that. But I like them. They're complimenting each other. And also their banter is really cute. They're both history buffs and all that stuff. So they're just quoting shit at each other. It's cute. Let's see. Jamie, oh god, he really breaks my heart in this episode. He has such great speeches and he's very sweet and he thought everything out. And again, I think he's been planning this. Murtaugh, I love Murtaugh. He's so funny. He's just like, yeah, I'm surprised he didn't kill Dougal sooner. That's funny. Fergus, I love Fergus.
I didn't mention Fergus.
I love Fergus, and this is spoiler, the last time we're going to see him like this. And I
this
love him.
Actor like for Fergus. And I actually
so
Googled him. I don't see him in anything else. He is
so good.
So good. This actor, and I'm sure that he probably made a zillion dollars off of this.
As he should.
Eating brie and drinking champagne, and good for you. We love you, but oh my God, we miss you.
Me too. And Galus.
Yeah.
Icon legend. She is the moment. And Jamie and Claire together. I love their moments together. They're very sweet. And particularly when he's dragging her to the stones, that conversation and him knowing her so well and knowing she's pregnant and them having that connection over that. It's so sweet. I love it.
So my favorite thing is obviously Jamie. I just, he is the romantic hero. Right?
Oh,
like,
I love to see it.
So expressive and thoughtful, and he has all these plans, and they're all exactly what they need to be. He has a lot of foresight for what needs to happen in this incredibly tragic and really unstable, unfolding situation. Obviously, this is someone looking at it with hindsight, but whatever, fuck it. We're going to take it. It would be the coolest thing in the world if somebody had this much foresight in the moment. And he's hot. He's Sam Hewitt. And oh my God, he has sex with Claire right at the stones because both of them need it in the moment. It's great. And he gives these great speeches. So awesome. And I do love the Jamie and Claire combination in that. Murtaugh, love him, so great. I there are not enough good words for Murtaugh as being the guy, right? Like, your absolute dependable right hand man, you name it. I love Roger in this. Roger is cute, he's dependable, he's, but in a very 20th century kind of way. He's very thoughtful, articulate, calmer, methodical. He has a lot of the elements that make him a 20th century kind of hero. Claire's great. Love her. Galus. I mean, I have a question mark with Galus because there are some amazing fucking things about Galus, but there are like a lot of fucked up things about Galus. But I love the fact that she's present. So she has to be a best part. What were your worst parts?
Dougal dying. It's unfortunate, but it had to happen. The only reason I wrote that down is because I wish that Graham McTavish was in it more.
I love him so much.
Brianna.
He's an actor. He's amazing.
Brianna, kinda. I already said my piece about that. I have mixed feelings, but I think that she could have handled things better as far as like wording is concerned, but her sentiment, I understand. Galus killing her husband. That poor guy did not deserve that. He didn't. All he did was care and love about you. Sorry. Yikes.
Is that everything? So I've got.
And Prince Charlie.
Oh, Prince Charlie is totally fucking bullshit. In all of this, I would love it if they'd actually poisoned him, but they failed. And that is on Dougal, and Dougal is the worst part, but Dougal is the worst part in part because of his death, because Graham McTavish is amazing, and missing him in this show, we definitely do. Mm-hmm. I think that even the negative traits of Dougal, and there are plenty, are an important foil or juxtaposition in this show to highlight what is good about the good people. And so it's disappointing to lose him. Brianna being full of this whole disbelief
I don't hate Brianna as a character. I hate the way she expresses the disbelief. I hate, like, this whole idea you were fucking on, somebody else, like, kind of thing. Like, you can't give her your mother any grace at all. You don't believe anything that she tells you. And as we will see going forward in season three, you have to actually look at that with some skepticism. Gayla's is, of course, a negative because she burns her husband to death in at the stones. Gayla's may actually, and I know we love her on so many levels, but she may be a negative going forward too. And of course, like
Well, considering she's dead, I don't know.
like I already mentioned, Dougal. Missing him, I love Graham McTavish in this role. I love him generally as an actor. I think he's fantastic. So, what grade did you give this episode?
I was going to give it an A. I think it's an A minus.
Yeah, it's a hard one for me. I initially gave it an A, and then I gave it an A minus. And I think it's hard to me. I love this episode because of its pacing. I mean, it might actually still be an A.
It
It
might be an
may.
A. I think it
I
is
think it
because
is an A
I
because
think that just so it's a cornerstone episode that
it
is just
is.
like it's so important because you get the flash forward, you get so much information,
Yeah.
you really move that plot. Like there have been so many episodes in this fucking season where
Well,
nothing happens.
I mean, there have been two whole fucking seasons about Culloden, and we actually
Exactly.
get Culloden addressed at, on some level in this episode, and it's really
And now we're
and.
moving on, thank
And yeah,
God.
exactly. But I think that everything going forward is going to be different. And the fact that everything f going forward is going to be different from this episode is a huge, like, marking point, an important point in this whole show, in this whole universe. So I think that
It's an
that
A.
makes it an A.
It's an A.
And I love the pacing of this episode. And this is an episode that you can watch probably as a standalone and get an idea of where this show is going.
Yeah.
So I think it's really important. And it has like all the people we think are important in it, with the possible exception of the prince who we really would like to see dead. So much to do in seasons going forward, don't you think?
Yeah, there's a lot in this next season that I'm looking forward to
Oh, me
conversations
too.
about.
Oh, yes.
I know what you're thinking about.
I
It's not the same
know.
thing as what I'm thinking about, but there's half of this season, well, okay, a quarter of this season that I'm really looking forward to, like
Yes.
discussing.
Yes.
And then there's like three quarters of it that I'm just like,
Three
eh.
quarters of it that involves rum, which might make it better,
That
and
might
you
make it
have
better.
not even tried that yet, so I think we need to.
Tried rum?
Tried all of these incredible drinks that involve rum in the
Sure.
Outlander book that you've given me. So I think this is important for us to test it out. I think that there actually it calls for things that involve pineapple rum. How can you say no to pineapple rum, Natalie?
I can't.
Exactly. So we need to check it out. We hope that you join us. And
Cheers.
cheers.